Very thankful for the truth of that song this morning, that nothing can touch us except it pass through His hands. In other words, there's no surprises to God. He is still in control. So ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I've got some really good news for you this morning. You are invited. Renee and I were speaking this week, and she asked me about something, about going somewhere, and I said, well, I said I would, but I wasn't invited. And it was a week or two ago. Do you know that, have you ever been to a place that maybe something was, an event was going on that you would have gone to, but you weren't invited? And so when you're invited, you get that. Sometimes it's a verbal invitation, sometimes more and more an electronic invitation. But sometimes you get that card in the mail that lets you know you are invited. Invited to a wedding, invited to a birthday party, invited to some celebration or event that's going on. And to be invited means that you are welcome to come. Someone wants your presence. Someone wants you to know that they would enjoy you being there with them. So you are invited today. I'd like to begin over in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. And this is the last chapter of the Bible. And I think it's very fitting that the word ends, at least in the last chapter, with an invitation. Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Isn't it nice that that was given at the last chapter in the Word of God? If anybody's thirsty, there's an invitation. You are invited to come. If you have a need in your heart, you are invited. If there is something that is troubling you, you have an invitation to come to the Savior. If there is sin in your life and there are things that have addictions and things that you are held captive by, there is an invitation from the Lord that you can come. If you're thirsty this morning, you can come. Let him that is athirst, let him come. If you're thirsty, if there's a longing in your spirit for something more than what you have, you are invited. And sometimes we've been invited to things that maybe we didn't realize we were invited to. Have you ever been invited to, someone came and said, well, why weren't you there? And it's like, well, and you kind of hem-haw around because you don't want to just come out and say, I wasn't invited. But come to find out, you were, you just didn't get the message. I want us to get the message this morning that we are invited. The Lord has made provision for us, and He wants us to come, and He wants to minister to us in all the needs that we have. Well, there is a story that Jesus told in the 14th chapter of Luke about an invitation that went out. And we read about this in Luke 14. We'll read through beginning with verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. He said, "A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many." So he invited people to come. There's been a great supper has been provided. And it wasn't just cheese and crackers. It wasn't just a little bowl of soup. He made a great feast. Have y'all ever been to a feast? You know, I know a feast is probably its relative. But to me, a feast is more than just it's more than just a lot of one thing. When there is a feast, there's an abundance of a lot of different dishes. At the opening at Haruma of the tabernacle, they made a feast, especially for the politicians that came in. at the opening there. We had a lot of political people coming in, and a lot of them took credit for things they didn't have anything to do with, but that's the way politicians do. But there was a feast made. I mean, there was fish, and there was chicken, and there was beef, and there was two different kinds of ugali, and there was, I think, two different kinds of rice, and there was stew. There was all kinds of food that was provided. And so here we have Jesus telling that a man made a great supper. It was a great feast, and he bade many to come. And he sent his servants at supper time and said to those that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. In other words, they were invited, but they all began to make excuses why they couldn't go. The first said, "I bought a piece of ground." In other words, I bought some property, and I need to go check on my property, but thank you for the invitation. Do you know what that means? I know that property has to be looked after, but what it means is this. My property is more important than going to the supper that you made for me. Because we all do what we want to do. In other words, we have priorities in life. And we have to choose one thing above another. And so when the invitation went out, they all began to make excuses of why they didn't want to go to the supper. And so one of them said, "Well, I bought some property and I need to go check on that." And it seems like a reasonable excuse, doesn't it? It's reasonable. However, they were putting priority on the property more than they were the invitation to the supper. And then another one said, "Well, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused." I wonder why he couldn't have proven the oxen the next day. They would have still been there. But because oxen need to be taken care of. Well, I might have had one fall in the ditch. It's kind of like this. If an ox falls in the ditch on the Sabbath, what do? You go get it out, right? But it's kind of like Brother Marty, I remember saying one time, after you buy so many oxen, one's going to be on the Sabbath in the ditch every day. You have too many oxen. In other words, when you get too many irons in the fire, you know it's always going to be occupied. You better start cutting down on something. Too much property, too many oxen. And then another one said this. He said, "I cannot come," because he said, "I married a wife. I got married. I need to take care of my relationship." Do you know family is important this morning? And brother, and your wife is important. You take care of her. That's important. And yet, they were putting more priority, greater priority on family relations than the feast. And this reference is to God himself. This was God that provided the marriage of the Son, salvation. The ministering to the soul was extended to everybody. And some are saying, "Well, I need to go check on my property. And I married a wife. I need to go be with her." And some say, "I have the oxen." And they all made excuses. And the servant said and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house was angry with his servant. And he said, "Go quickly out into the streets and the lanes in the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." Jesus came, and the message of the gospel was first, it was brought. The message of the gospel was brought to the Jews, and what did the Jews do with it? They refused it. They didn't accept it. But thank God the invitation of the gospel was not just to the Jews. It was to the Gentiles. It was to everyone that would answer the call and respond to the invitation. And do you realize the message here did not just go out? It was not an exclusive invitation. He said, "I bid some and they didn't come. Go out in the streets and the lanes." Okay, there's still room. Now go out in the highways and the hedges. Go out in those that aren't, go to those that are in hiding. Those that are off to the side. Those that are not on the main roads. I want you to go everywhere with the gospel. Well, there are a lot of things today, there's invitations that are exclusive. Have you ever asked someone, "Oh, are you going to the wedding? "No, I'm not going to the wedding." "Why not?" "Well, I wasn't invited." See, some people don't go because they're not invited. But some people don't go. You get an invitation in the mail. I don't know what you do with yours. But sometimes they go up on the fridge with a magnet. And sometimes people get invitations and look at it and think, I'm not interested. And it goes in the trash. And sometimes if you're really interested, you might even get out your calendar on your phone and you put a reminder, I don't want to miss this. I want to be there. I've been invited and I want to be sure when something else comes up and says, oh, can you work this day? No, I cannot work this day because I got an invitation and I'm going to it. These people, the message of the gospel has been extended to all people, but many people are making excuses of why they're not responding to the gospel. Now, in another account that Jesus gave in the book of Matthew, very similar, and yet people killed the messenger. They killed the prophets. They killed Christ. They were angry with them. In this account, they were not even rude. They politely responded, I pray thee have me excused. There are some people that are rude, and there are others that will be polite, and they will listen to the invitation, and they will politely decline. I'm going to go check on my property. I've got a family reunion I'm going to. I can't respond to the gospel message. This morning, we've been invited. But it's up to us what we do with the invitation that the Lord has extended to each and every one of us. So we can throw it away, we can put it on the fridge, we can forget it, or we can prepare. I got an invitation, and I'm going to prepare myself, and I'm going to go to this great feast, this marriage supper that's been prepared for us. Do you know at a wedding, normally, if you're going to attend a wedding, there's preparation, isn't there? How many of you are out mowing the yard before the wedding time? You're out mowing the yard or you're painting and you've been working and you've got dirt all over you. Say, oh, it's time to go to the wedding, and you walk in your dirty clothes. No, normally you take some prep time. I've got to change my clothes. I'm going to prepare myself because I've been invited. Do you know we're going to need to prepare ourselves to respond to that last great day when the Lord comes back? It's going to take us preparing ourselves now. But let's know that we're invited. The Lord has invited each one of us. There was a story told, and I came across it again, and I almost think I shared this a number of years ago. I've heard this story before. But there's a story told about a couple that came to the United States, and they'd gotten political asylum in the U.S., and they were coming, I believe it was, from Eastern Europe. And so they were not aware of a lot of the customs in the Western culture. And they got an invitation one day, and on the bottom of the invitation, it said, and it was to a wedding, and at the bottom it said RSVP. Now that's a French expression. It stands for something in French that means, in other words, give a response. But they were from Eastern Europe. They didn't know what it meant, RSVP. And so they sat there and pondered on that just a little bit. And finally, the husband got some inspiration, and he said, Vif. He said, I know what it means. He said, RSVP. He said, remember, send wedding presents. In other words, remember to send wedding presents, RSVP. You know, sometimes people do that with the gospel. They think it's a demand. Don't forget to send. Don't forget to do. Do you realize the invitation that God has sent to us is not a demand? It's a welcome. It's something good. The Lord, salvation and serving the Lord is something good for us. And the enemy tries to make us think that it's demanding and it's hard and it's difficult. But if we can recognize the wonderful things that God has provided for us. RSVP, would you let me know if you're coming? Would you get ready? Would you prepare yourself? Well, there are some invitations, and we're not going to take the time to turn and read all of them, but I'm going to share some with you, some invitations that are in the Scripture. In the book of Mark in the 8th chapter, Jesus called the people to him, and he said, whosoever will, let him come after me. Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. And then he went on to say, whosoever shall lose his life shall, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's an invitation. Whoever will, if you'll come, yes, there is some denial, but you'll find something so much better. You'll find salvation. It was an invitation. It does not matter how deep in sin someone is. It does not matter what kind of tangles are in someone's life. The invitation that the Lord is extending is, if you will, you've been invited. And none of us are going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I never got the invitation. We've been invited to this morning. We've been invited to follow him. There's another beautiful invitation in the book of Jeremiah. In the third chapter, in the 22nd verse, it said, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Return. That's an invitation. That was an invitation to the backsliders. If you had one time had an experience with God and you lost it, there's an invitation to all those that have walked away from God. There's a way back. You can come back home. You can come to the feast and we'll welcome you with open arms. Thank the Lord for that invitation. There's another invitation Jesus gave, found over in the book of John in the 7th chapter. Beginning with verse 37, it said, in that last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If a man thirst, let him come. In other words, you are invited. You ever get thirsty? There's kind of that desire for something. There's a longing. If you're thirsty, whether you're saved or whether you're not saved. You know, that's for all of us. When we're thirsty, Jesus gave us an invitation. He said, you can come to me and drink. But Jesus went on to say something more. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Jesus was specifically referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit. When he said, if you're thirsty, you can come to me. There is a great need today for people that have started out for the Lord to be anointed and filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, if you recognize that you have a need in your life, if you recognize that you need more power, just come to me. I'll give you something. We've been invited this morning. What about one of the most well-known invitations? Is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? I'll give you rest. That's an invitation to us. Sometimes we carry burdens needlessly. And the Lord gave us an invitation. He said, if you're struggling, don't be ashamed. And especially it seems like young people sometimes and children that are wanting to do right, they feel some shame with what they're struggling with. Well, if you were really saved, you wouldn't be struggling with that. You know, Jesus was tempted. What was he tempted with? Pride. He was tempted with something to gain power and position. It was temptation. That's when something draws on your flesh. So just because we are tempted does not despiritualize us. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, people will get in their mind that I can't acknowledge my weakness or the need that I have because I'm supposed to be spiritually strong. But Jesus, he understands that we're in the flesh and we can come to him in our struggles and in our temptations and in our burdens. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll minister to you and I'll help you with this. I'll take your sin. I'll take your burden. I'll take your guilt. And where there's no rest, the Lord said, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's an invitation. And you know, that's the wonderful good news that we have to take to the world today. I don't have all of the answers for everybody's problems on how to cross every T and dot every I. I don't know. There are some things that are above my pay grade, but I know where to point people to. I know where to point people to. If you will just go to the Lord and give your heart. I remember years ago, there was someone that was, their life was twisted and mixed up. Sin had brought a lot of heartache in this home. And I sat in the, Renee and I sat in their kitchen, the husband and wife in tears saying, what do we do? My advice to them was, I can't tell you on every little thing because it was a mess. But I said, what I can encourage you to do is get really close to the Lord. Just draw close to God and the Spirit of the Lord will guide you and help you to know what to do when the time is right and how to undo some of these tangles that life brings. I don't have all the answers, but get real close to God. And that's the message we have to take to the world today. I'm not ashamed of that message. I wish the chapel were full this morning, but do you realize that we have a message that we need not be ashamed of? Because there's an invitation. You're invited. You're invited to come to the Savior and be ministered to. Jesus in another place. Did you all know Jesus was a cook? You remember after the resurrection? The disciples were out fishing and Jesus was on the, he was there on the beach as it were, along the seashore, and he cooked some food and the disciples came in from fishing and Jesus said, come and dine. He prepared some food for them. Come and dine. You know, there's an invitation that when we're hungry, the Lord's saying, come and dine. I recall many years ago, and maybe some of you have heard this story, but there was a brother that was on a train or a ship. I've heard it both ways. But he was on a train or a ship, and he bought his passage, and he just had enough money to get his transport from here to there. And so he brought with him he brought cheese and crackers, and when everybody else was going to the dining room to eat in the dining car to get their good food, he would pull out his cheese and crackers and eat it. And he was eating. Finally, one day someone said, why don't you come and eat in the dining area? And he said, I couldn't afford to pay for that. All I could afford to pay for was the passage. You know the end of the story? They looked at him and said, it was included. When you bought your passage, the food was included. You can eat. He was selling himself short. He didn't realize the Lord is saying, come and dine. And you say, I can't. Come, those that don't have any money. The prophet Isaiah said the same thing. It's not because we're worthy. It's not because we're so righteous. It's not because I have so many talents that I can give to the Lord that makes me worthy of this. No, it's because the Lord loves us and we're all invited. You may have been one of the ones that got the first invitation, or maybe you were out on the street. But if you were out in the highways and the hedges, I'll claim that. The Lord found me in the highways and hedges then, but he gave me an invitation. It wasn't my worthiness, but he said, come and dine. I want to bless your soul. I want to do something in your life. That's what the Lord has extended to us. Come and dine. If you're hungry, you need not be ashamed to say you're hungry. Come and dine. You're invited. There are none too insignificant. Because didn't Jesus, when he looked on the children, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Do you know what that was? That was the invitation. And we say, but I don't have a lot. What do children have to offer? You say, well, the kingdom of God, there are some more important matters Jesus needed to deal with. No, he said, except we become as little children. In other words, recognize that we're just all humble, little, lowly people, and we're responding to the invitation of the Lord. And he's saying, come, come, you're invited. Well, there's another invitation that Jesus gave to his disciples. Remember, it was before they were his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They were out fishing, and Jesus walked by, and do you remember what he said? He said, come. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He invited them to follow him and work for him. Do you realize that that invitation is still going out to people today? He is inviting us to work for him. What are we going to do with that invitation? Well, if I can eat, that's fine. I'll come to eat, but if it's work day... I've got to take care of some other things. I've got a wife, I've got some oxen, I've got some property. But if it's going to be a feast, I might make some. You know, the Lord's inviting us to work for Him too. Whether it's something small or something bigger. And it's an invitation. He's not forcing us, but He's inviting us. So where does that leave us this morning? What are we going to do with it? Because we've been invited. We've been invited to bring our burdens to Him. We've been invited to be saved. We've been invited to have the Holy Spirit. We've been invited to find a place of refreshing and renewal in Him. And we've been invited to work for Him. But the reality is, still today, just like in the parable Jesus told, very few people are responding to the invitation. Because I've got other things to do. It's not a priority. There is something I'd like us to be aware of, and Jesus told us in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, in the 65th verse, Jesus said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father." Now this is where it gets serious. If you don't get an invitation, can't go. Now, an invitation has been given. It wasn't exclusive, like a wedding, you know, maybe there's 30 people can go. If there are only 30 people can go, most likely we won't be there, right? It's exclusive. It's small. This invitation has been extended to all. However, when the Lord invites you is the time to RSVP. Because I have seen people reject the invitation of the Lord, and later in life, it was very difficult for them to find a place to get back to God. I could tell stories. There have been people that I prayed with, and they could not hardly believe to come and say, "Lord, I need to be saved," because they had rejected the invitation so much. It did something in their mind and their heart that they just couldn't grasp and come to the place to open up their heart. So when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit and the waters are moving, when the Holy Spirit and the Lord comes and draws you, and I hope you all know what I'm talking about. You know when the Lord comes in and starts talking to you about something, says, come to me and I'll give you rest, and you don't respond right then, it's a little difficult the next day to say, "Oh, Lord, where's that rest now?" The time to have gotten it was when He invited me. It's the same way with salvation. It's the same way with the work of the Lord. When the Lord gives you a job to do, that's the time to respond to the invitation. Because no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. And we know that all are invited, but the time to respond is now. The time to respond is those moments when the Lord is talking to your heart. It's kind of like in certain services where there's a heavy spirit of conviction and people think, "Well, I'll just go pray afterward. I'll pray after service is over." And then there's a wife to take care of and property to check on and oxen to pull out of the ditch. And then you go and pray and it's just kind of dry and it just doesn't seem like you're connecting real well. Do you know the reason for that? Was because the time to respond is when the Lord's talking to us. Whether you're in service, whether you're driving down the road, whether you're in your house, wherever you are, the time to respond is when the Spirit of God is drawing us and inviting us. And that's why it's so important. So what are we going to do when the invitation comes? We need to get up and respond. I'm going to answer, Lord. I'm going to follow. I'm going to obey. I'm going to say amen. I'm going to say amen. Maybe we could have that song ready to sing a verse of that here in just a couple. My heart says amen to thy will. In other words, I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond to the answer to when the Lord invitation. So I'd like to conclude with a little story. And I came across this story, and so I did a little research, because sometimes you can read stories and hear stories, and it's like, is this true or is it not? And I remember hearing stories as a boy, and I've looked them up older. We have access to more research now with the internet. You can look at more resources and find. So I did some investigating, and this really did happen. It wasn't just an illustration that someone kind of manufactured. And I want to share it with you this morning. During the presidency of Andrew Jackson, there was a man by the name of George Wilson. I may not have all the facts exactly, but there's a point. There, he was a postal clerk, was robbed. And George Wilson was a postal clerk. He robbed a federal payroll from a train. All right? And in the process, there was a guard that was killed, and there were other people involved in this. And the court convicted him and sentenced him to hang. You can find these facts. He was sentenced to hang. And because public sentiment against capital punishment at the time, there was a movement at that period to get Andrew Jackson to pardon him from his hanging and from prison. And eventually, Jackson intervened with a pardon. But Wilson refused it. So the president pardoned him, and he refused the pardon. And it had never happened before that a pardon was refused. So it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court was asked to rule on whether someone could indeed refuse a presidential pardon. And John Marshall was the Chief Justice at the time, and he was the one that handed down the court's decision. And they said this: a pardon is a parchment only, whose only value must be determined by the receiver of the pardon. It has no value apart from that which the receiver gives to it. So George Wilson refused to accept the pardon for whatever reason. Now, history is a little bit unclear on the outcome. I found one resource in Smithsonian Magazine and another resource another place, and one person said that one place said that he ended up being hung, and another said he served 10 more years in prison and was let go. So, I don't know what the outcome was, but he did refuse the pardon. So, what was the assessment was that a pardon only has as much merit as it is given by the receiver. I hope you get the point I'm going to bring out now in closing. We can be invited, but the invitation only has as much weight or power as we give in responding to it. So for salvation, as God is our burden bearer, for the provision of God in our life, for the Holy Spirit, for the work that the Lord has for us to do, when he has invited us, you are invited, but that invitation only has as much weight as you give to it. Do you value the invitations that the Lord gives to you? When the Spirit talks to your heart, are we responding, or are we putting it away? Are we making excuses? So this week, may I challenge you with something this week? When the Spirit of God talks to your heart, you've been invited. What will you do with the invitations that the Lord sends our way? Amen.